that just like the Lord, so very much like Jesus.
This is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour of the Dyer Baptist Church with our co-pastors, David M. Atkinson and Dr. Lee Atkinson. We are coming to you from Dyer, Indiana. Our prayer is that you will be strengthened by the word today. Now, here is our pastor.
Come about 4 o'clock, December 25, there's a lot of people kind of grumpy, crosswise with each other, and in other ways, miserable. And the really amazing thing is, it's still like another 10 days before the kids go back to school. In a facetious sort of way, I want to give you a how-to this evening from Matthew chapter 2. So if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 2, that'll be our guideline on this very important topic that I trust will be helpful to you. The title of the message tonight is How to Have a Horrible Holiday Like Herod. Herod the King. Herod the Great, the King. How to have a horrible holiday like Herod. You know, the shepherds, I think, had a pretty good time at that first Christmas. I think that Mary and Joseph, even after the pain of labor that Mary went through, even after the journey and the being shut out and being stuck, I think they had a pretty wonderful holiday. But when it came Herod's turn, I think he had a pretty horrible holiday. And good news, you can have this horrible holiday too. In 6 easy steps, we'll see how you too can be miserable like this miserly king. By way of background, this was Herod the Great. I remember there's 4 different Herods talked about in the New Testament. This was the first. He was literally the granddaddy of them all. He was king for quite a while. He was called king, granted that title by Rome, but the Jewish people never really quite embraced it because he wasn't completely Jewish. Minor detail, he certainly wasn't from the line of David. So he spent a lot of time trying to impress them and to win their allegiance. And one way he did that was by famously remodeling and expanding the temple. And did a magnificent job, made a huge temple grounds, and the temple itself was spectacular under King Herod. His construction project went on most of his life. He was insecure, like a lot of kings. He was very selfish, probably not bested by many other kings in his selfishness and his greed. Think back to our time with Kings and Crowns and Conquerors, was represented by none other than our song leader, the ever kind and sweet and gracious Brother Larry Bird, represented Herod the Great. And if you remember him acting a little crazy, he was having nightmares about his wife that he'd killed. One of the commentaries said his favorite wife. So I don't know how you feel about that, Mrs. Bird, but he did kill his wife, Mariamne, and a couple of his kids as well, because he thought that they were trying to challenge him for the throne, and they may have been. But if I had to describe Herod in just one word, it would be selfish. He was completely, utterly, and always focused on himself. And whether he was remodeling a temple or whether he was interacting with wise men, he had selfish motives at heart, and that kind of lays the background for how he had this horrible holiday. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Matthew 2, verse 2. These wise men came to Jerusalem, and presumably they have come to the king, because where else do you go when you want to find information? Saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, whether they addressed him directly or whether the rumors got to his ears because he was so insecure, what happened? It says, he was troubled. He was troubled. And let me stop right here with our first practical tip on how you can have a horrible holiday. It is very, very important before we go far at all this Christmas to be sure that you protect your position. Herod was all about protecting his position. He was the king. He was in charge. He was the one going to give the orders, and he liked it that way. Maybe you're not the king, but you want to protect your position as decider of what to do or where to go. Isn't it funny? We're always busy and we're running here and there, and then we finally have a couple days to spend together as family, and then all we do is squawk and squabble about, well, I want to go here. No, I want to go there. I want to go here first. No, I want to go here first. Don't give in to other people. Be selfish. Assert yourself. You are the monarch. And if you want to have a horrible holiday, you have to protect your position as the decider of what to do. It doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. This is not up for a vote. This is what I want. And I'm the Herod around here. Make sure that you are proactive about keeping others from thinking that their opinion matters. It's very, very important that everybody realize that what they think is totally irrelevant. We were doing some Christmas shopping the other night, and we're looking at T-shirts. People put interesting things on T-shirts, don't they? And we noticed one that was up there on the wall for sale, and the T-shirt is reading as, like, you're in front of somebody, and it says, yeah, remember the part where I asked for your opinion? No, neither do I. Pretty snarky remark to make there. But isn't that, I think probably someone should have got that T-shirt for Herod. He didn't care about anyone else's opinion but his own. And if you want to be miserable, if you want to be eaten up inside, one important thing for you to do is to be sure that other people understand what they think doesn't matter. You are the king. Be sure to guard your rights. You know, you've been wanting to do this for a while and you have the right to do it. You've been wanting to sleep in, or you've been wanting to take this off, or you've been wanting to go here or do that, and so help me, no one's going to stop me. You have that kind of attitude, and you're well on your way to that horrible holiday. Be sure, as you're guarding your rights and protecting your position, that you give the kids a piece of your mind. I mean, they need it, don't they? Come on, parents, help me out here. Give those kids a piece of your mind. You let them know exactly what you're thinking, that you're in charge here. They need to be told, don't they? Young people, make sure that you're sharp with your siblings. You may even want to get one of those whetting stones and kind of sharpen your tongue a little bit so that you can dig at them really good. Put them in their place when they think that their idea is worth listening to. Say things like, shut up, nobody cares like what you think about. Say things like that, you are going to have a nice holiday, aren't you? Say things like, who asked you? Your ideas never work. Say sharp things like that. That'll really, really help you to have a horrible holiday. And married folk, let me encourage you, as you're protecting your position as decider of what to do, be sure to correct your spouse as often as possible, preferably in front of other people. Because if you will do that, that will really help to establish yourself on the throne of your Christmas kingdom. Obviously, I'm speaking tongue-in-cheek here. This is not Christ-like in any way, is it? But this is kind of what Herod did, and honestly, isn't it temptations that we face? To be sharp with our siblings, to correct our spouse. If they're wrong on any little thing, we can't just let it go. No, we have to broadcast to everybody, my spouse made a mistake. No, I don't mean the one when they married me. I mean since then. We don't need to correct our spouses all the time. I mean, if they're going to endanger their lives, yeah, go ahead and correct them. But if they just make a mistake, you don't have to highlight that. Did you know that? There's no purpose served in doing that. We don't have to protect our position as the one who decides everything this Christmas. Let's continue back in our text about Herod. Verse 3 started out, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. He was upset and realized he needed to protect his position. But then he went on, apparently it says, all Jerusalem with him. All Jerusalem was troubled with him. And this really is very helpful as we examine the life of our model monarch here. If you want to have a horrible holiday, make sure that you take others down with you. When Herod was having a bad day, everybody had a bad day. And isn't that just the way you want to spend your December? You know, if you're a little bit down, maybe because it didn't snow on December the 25th, you may just make sure that nobody has a good day. You just pout and you sulk and you be grumpy so that nobody who's trying to whistle a happy tune can be heard. You need to make sure that if you don't get what you hoped you would get, that you're critical of whatever else is going on and you rain on other people's parades. You know, if somebody else is having a good day and you're having a bad day, don't you stand for it. You make sure that they feel just as badly as you do because you didn't get what you want. Hey, don't we do that though sometimes? Everybody else is happy, but I'm kind of frustrated for some reason, for something I didn't get to do, or a place I didn't get to go, or something that wasn't in my size, or in the color I wanted, or somebody else got the last piece of pie. And so suddenly I'm just thrown into this tizzy of a bad day. And other people are going on celebrating. And the temptation is to try to bring them down. And say, yeah, this isn't very much fun. It would have been better if we'd done this. Yeah, we did this before. You know, and just kind of knock whatever's going on, just to kind of suck the joy out of it. Make a choice. You can do that and be miserable like Herod, or you can make a decision to be Christ-like. If you want to be like Herod, though, you need to make sure, you might even adopt this slogan. Perhaps someone will buy you your own custom t-shirt. They're not that expensive these days. And you could get a t-shirt that says, spread the grumpiness. Spread the grumpiness. If you're just, you know, woke up on the wrong side of the bed, then you just let people know about it. You show it on your face. Show it in the way you walk. Show it in the way you sit down in the chair. And make sure to sigh a lot. Because that's the way that you can communicate to others that I'm down and I want you to be down too. Oh, and don't forget this. If you want to bring others down when you're down, be sure that you look for opportunities to say, I told you so. That's really, really important if you're trying to do like Herod, who when he was troubled, all Jerusalem was troubled with him. You ever have family plans? Like maybe you're going to go somewhere. Maybe you're going to go to Chicago and see the lights. I don't know. And so wifey says, I think we should drive. And husbandy says, I think we should take the train. And wifey submits and husband gets his way and they're taking the train and it really goes badly. They have a hard time getting parking at the train station. The train gets delayed. There's all kinds of problems. And then when they're on their way back, they miss the train. So they have to wait a whole nother hour to get the train again. All you have to do, ladies, is just say, I told you it would have been better to drive. And you'll have a holiday just like Herod's. And I know it's hard to bite your tongue, ladies, because we're wrong a lot. But do all of us a favor and don't bring everybody down when you're frustrated because you didn't get your way. Don't say, I told you so. In fact, why don't we do this right now? It's a little unorthodox, but hey, it's Sunday night and there's nobody here but us. Let's just all clasp our hands together. I don't know what that means, but it just feels like we should do something. The lights should go off if we. Oh, the clapper. Okay, well, I don't think we're equipped here with the clapper. So we're holding our hands together, and here's what we're going to say. Don't say it this time. Say, I will not say I told you so this Christmas. You ready for that? You ready for that? Here we go. Say it with me. I will not say I told you so this Christmas. All right. Yeah, but next year, you're good to go. 2019, have at it, okay? And by the way, there's more ways than one to say I told you so, aren't there? Like, instead of saying, I wish we would have driven, ladies, you could just kind of dangle the keys, you know? Oops, I dropped the car keys. All right, let's keep reading about our boy Herod. Verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Ah, oh, what a paragon. What a picture of pride and selfishness. He gathered the chief priests and scribes together, and what did he do? He demanded of them, where is Christ going to be born? He didn't say, hey, can I borrow your copy of the scriptures so that I can read for myself and find the answer to my question? He told them to do it for him. So, number three, if you want to have a horrible holiday like Herod, be demanding, especially at family meals, and if you're working a lot in this time period. I know some of us have some time off, some of us don't. But you milk this time and be demanding at family meals. Make sure that everybody knows what you and I know, and that is that you deserve all good things. Since you deserve them, there is no need to be polite. You know, like, why would you say, please pass the potatoes when they belong to you? Just give me the potatoes is sufficient. You could also say things like, hey, are you ever going to pass the salad? You can eat the whole thing yourself. See, don't be polite. You want to be abrasive and harsh and demanding. That's what Herod did. He demanded of these scribes and these priests that they would get an answer for him. Have high expectations. It's really important for your family to know that you expect every little thing to be done right. Isn't it? I mean, they need to be told this is how it needs to be. And don't ask. Tell people. Demand things of them. And I would say this is great for both parents and children. Don't make requests, but always make sure that you ask for more. Or I should say demand more. When they've done one thing, insist that they do another thing. When they've given one thing, insist that they give more. Never, ever be satisfied. Because after all, you are the king. It's sad, but don't we do that sometimes? We get one nice thing that we've wanted for a long time, and we show our gratitude by asking for another. Maybe your kids do some chores that you ask them to do, and you're like, wow, that worked out pretty well. When they put their mind to it, they can accomplish a lot. Okay, so before we do that fun thing I said, why don't you do this too? Just go ahead and change the target. You'll really provoke your kids very nicely if you do that. It goes the other way. Teens, mom and dad say that you can do something that you're not normally allowed to do because it's the holiday. And then you turn around and say, okay, and I want to do this too. And the other too. And again. And every night. Be careful. Don't be like that. I mean, do be like that if you want to be just like Herod. Let's keep reading. We'll get a little further in the text now. He demanded of the scribes. And I like this. As far as those who are working, he took advantage to not do the job himself, but to get someone else to do it. And if you're working over the holiday or in the near future, I would make sure that you do that. Say, I can't believe I have to be here on Christmas anyways. You do this. And don't take any of the load on yourself. That's important. Verse 5. These scribes and Pharisees, or scribes and priests, excuse me, they respond to Herod. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. This is really key point. If you've missed anything so far, this one can by itself ensure that you have a horrible holiday. All you have to do is practice the fine art of manipulation. Be manipulative at every opportunity. Here's Herod talking to the wise men, smiling, I'm sure, smiling and oily as an otter, saying, oh, yes, the king, the one that's born king, that's great. I'm glad you came and looked to us for help because my scribes and priests were able to give you the answer. It's Bethlehem. Oh, and I'm so eager to worship him too. So why don't we do this? You go ahead and find him. And as soon as you found him, you come and let me know because I want to come and worship him too. Right? We can all be wise men together. He was manipulative. And I would say on your day off or days off, make sure that you're manipulative so that you get what you want. Whether it's what you want to eat, or what game you want to play, or what Christmas movie you want to watch, just be manipulative about something. That's the main thing. Here's the thing. Don't trust people enough. Don't trust them to think that if I just sincerely and in a straightforward way tell you what I'm feeling, tell you what I'm thinking, tell you what I hope for, that that will be enough. Oh, no, no. You can't trust people like that. You have to assume that they are not going to have your best interest in mind. You have to assume that they are just as selfish as you are and they don't have any love for you. And that the only way they're going to cooperate with your plan is if you trick them into it. That's what manipulation is. Don't trust people. Don't be straightforward or transparent with them. You have to manipulate them. See, no one would willingly cooperate with your selfish desires. So instead, use people like a plastic fork. You know, pick them up, use them to get what you want, and when you're done, get rid of them. That's what manipulators do, isn't it? They just use people till they get what they want, then they move on. That's a way to have a horrible holiday. A good way to do this manipulation, I would say one of the prime ways to do it, is by making people feel guilty so they will feel vulnerable to your demands. Make people feel guilty. Oh, I had a hard day, and now I don't get to have the sandwich I want. You go ahead. I'll just have a bowl of cereal. No, no, don't bother with the milk. Water will be fine. And you're manipulating them so they'll feel bad for you. My life is so hard. You need to give me what I want. Right? Make them feel bad by talking about how you never got to do this before. I wanted this last year, and I didn't get to do it last year either. All the kids at school already have one. How come my sibling got one and I didn't? You kids don't understand how hard it is to be an adult. Come on! We're all manipulators, aren't we? It doesn't matter your age bracket. We are all tempted to be just like Herod and be insincere, be dishonest, be selfish, and treat people like a little marionette. Do you know what marionettes are? They're puppets, but they're not puppets you put your hand up in. It's a puppet that has a string on each hand and each foot, and depending on how sophisticated they are, some of them have a lot of strings on them. And then there's a puppeteer that's hidden and holds this thing with all the strings on it, and it just pulls this string, and the puppet raises his arm. It pulls the other string, it raises his other arm. And it walks like this. That's a marionette. And if you want to have a horrible holiday, just imagine that people are life-size marionettes and find their strings and pull on them to make them do what you want them to do. Herod thought he could manipulate the wise men. He tried to make them do what he wanted them to do. Verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Well, that's the wise men. We don't want to be like them. Remember? Herod, that's our guy. Verse 11. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. You mean happiness? The rejoicing with exceeding great joy is associated with those who are worshiping Jesus, not worshiping themselves? It goes on to say, they opened their treasures and they presented unto him gifts. It doesn't say that they got any gifts. You mean exceeding great joy is for those who give more than they receive? Wow. Well, that's for only people who want to be wise, not us. Verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. The manipulator is foiled. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee. Flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Herod wanted to protect his own position so much that he was willing to destroy this child. This teaches us that if you want to have a horrible holiday like him, all we have to do is be sure to hurt anybody who gets in our way. Somebody gets in your way, just hurt them. Herod was willing to kill him. You may not be at that level yet, but at least hurt people if they get in your way. Let's say it's something really mundane like this. Maybe someone makes a scheduled decision that you don't like. Maybe it's the boss calls you into work. Maybe it's the wife put something on the family schedule and you didn't know about it and it interferes with the game you were going to watch. Maybe it's the parents say the festivities end at this time and you want it to end at that time. I don't know. But somebody makes the scheduled decision that you don't like, just make sure you hurt them. Insult them so that you can intimidate them into going along with your plan. That's a good way to be miserable. Insult people. Attack them personally. Point out their flaws. Say things that magnify the things that already they wish were different about themselves. And by so doing, they will be vulnerable and putty in your hands. Insult them so they will go along with your plan. Remind them of the times they've failed in the past. Remind them of the mistakes they've made. Make unfair comparisons that make them look bad. Well, so-and-so's family does this. Oh, well, that's the thing I would expect from you. We've always been that kind of a family. Okay, those kind of insults that hurt people, that'll make your whole holiday miserable. Why would we compare somebody we love in a way so as to make them look bad? Why would we do that? God tells us to love not only our neighbors, but our enemies. Sometimes we struggle to show love even to our own family. We know them best, so we know their flaws, and we know what will hurt them. And it is in the power of our tongue to deeply wound somebody. And it wreaks havoc on our relationships. Don't be like Herod, who hurt others. He was willing to kill this child to get his way, to protect his power. Don't stoop to hurting people, making unfair comparisons, intimidating them. Maybe it's siblings picking on other siblings or whatever, just to get them to go along with your plan. Don't do that, or you'll be very, very miserable. Last thing we find in just a few more verses, and we'll be closing. So Joseph is responding to the message that the angel brought to him. Verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Now, time travel back a little bit to right around this time when the wise men were there and so forth. Verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. If we thought it was awful that Herod was willing to hurt this one child, how much more wicked that he was willing to destroy all the children, two and under, in this whole town, this village. It says he was, what, exceeding wroth? Is that what it said? He was exceeding wroth. I don't know what else to call this but a temper tantrum. This is the equivalent of a three-year-old lying on the ground, pounding it with his fists and kicking it with his feet. Herod says, oh, they're going to mock me, are they? They think they can outfox me, do they? These wise men aren't as wise as they think they are. They may have protected their precious little Messiah, but I'm going to kill every baby. And he lashed out with the sword. What a horrible, horrible life this man had. How do you sleep with yourself knowing what you've done? How do you not have nightmares for the wicked evil that you've committed? He was a haunted man, I guarantee it, because he threw a temper tantrum. Hey, maybe you didn't get the present you wanted. Does it really matter? It doesn't, does it? Maybe you got two of the same thing. Maybe you got the thing you didn't really want and the thing you really wanted you didn't get. Do we really need to pout about that? Do we need to throw a temper tantrum when we tried really hard to please this person? Watch it. And they don't show the kind of gratitude that we think they should show? Hey, here's a window into our souls. When I give somebody a gift, and maybe I did spend a lot on it, or maybe I spent a long time making it, or maybe I went to a lot of trouble to find it, and if they don't thank me in the way that I think they should thank me, and I get angry, was I really giving out of love? I was giving selfishly, wasn't I? I was giving, and the end goal was not their joy, it was not their blessing. The end goal was their praising me. You don't deserve any thanks because you were doing it for yourself in the first place. It's hard, I confess. When I give and feel like it's not properly appreciated, sometimes I throw a little internal temper tantrum. Let's not do that. Well, Herod was the kind of guy that would make a really big deal out of getting his way. If you want to be like him, make sure you raise your voice a lot this Christmas. Make noises, and especially make faces that will force the situation to turn out the way you want it to. Give them the look. Growl. You know. Wrinkle up your nose. Stomp your foot. Pound on the table. Do something to let people know that you are not happy with what's going on. And if they want any peace in the house, they had better get in line with you. That's the way to have a horrible holiday. And I hope that as I've painted some of these pictures, they've sounded ridiculously awful that anyone would give this kind of advice. But I think if we're realistic, we know that at least one of these six things has gone through our mind if we haven't actually carried it out, and probably we have. Having a great Christmas is not about giving everything that was on your list or lake effect snow on the 25th, everywhere except your driveway. Having a great Christmas is not about, people spending more on you than you spent on them. It's not about the food being perfect, nothing getting burned, and everything being just right. It's about worshiping Christ. It's about celebrating by being generous. It's about giving, not receiving. If you don't want to have this horrible holiday like Herod, I would encourage you to consider 1 Corinthians 10:24, which simply states, "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth." Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth.
Isn't that just like the Lord? So very much like Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. graceglory7@juno.com. Pastor David M. Atkinson also has a ministry on Facebook and invites you to connect with him there. Now, until the next time, remember to walk softly with the Lord.